next one, 8. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath to everyone out there this morning. Such a joy to come here on Sabbath mornings to see people I don't get to see through the week. So this is a special time for fellowshipping and spending some time with each other. The highlight of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned. Well, today we're going to talk about the wind, the rain, and the fire. We've been focusing a lot on prayer, coming together in prayer, praying together as a church family. But we also need the wind, the rain, and the fire in our lives to call us to be praying, to strengthen our prayer life, but most of all, to strengthen our walk with the Lord as we share Jesus along the way with others. So we're going to talk about our need for the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, prayer doesn't go up very far. We need Him in our lives, convicting us, drawing us to our knees, and offering up these prayers for each other and for the church family to come together in one accord, as those disciples did in the upper room that fateful day as they waited on Jesus and the gift that He promised them. So imagine this. A nation has endured a series of hostile actions from a neighboring state. Attempts to negotiate have failed. Every diplomatic channel has been used, but to no avail. Finally, the president of the nation declares war against the aggressor. With a sense of urgency, the other political leaders and the generals listen for guidance from the president. He gathers them together and says, "There's a retreat center here in the Capitol. I want you to go there and wait." "Wait?" they ask in astonishment. "Yes." "Yes," he answers, "wait." Well, imagine this. One of the big three automobile companies continues to lose money quarter after quarter. Its market share is in dramatic decline. The CEO resigns. The board of directors finally brings in the best possible person they can find for the job, and they expect him to hit the ground running. He contacts all the department heads and tells them to go to the conference room and plan to be there for a good long while. They ask him, "Shall we bring in our market research? Do you want to see what we've been doing in development? Are we going to review our last strategic plan?" they ask. "No," he replies. "We're going to wait." "Wait," they echo. "That's right," he says. "Wait." I know all of us has experienced what it's like to be waiting, haven't we? Who can't recall the delight of going to a doctor's office? Don't you wish you could charge the doctor for your time? No doubt you've had the joy of waiting in the grocery store line, especially the checkout line. You sometimes start to wonder if your discount coupons are going to expire before you ever get to the cashier. And then, of course, Some of you are well acquainted with the great fun of waiting on your spouse. I'm almost ready. 45 minutes later, you finally get in the car. Waiting is among our high points in life, isn't it? Sure. Mostly we feel like it's empty space when we're waiting. Just empty space. Dead time. Fruitless. Frustrating. Nothing that we have to endure between happenings. It's nothing as you're waiting for what you're going to be doing next. And the less we wait, I know you can affirm this, the less we wait, we're happier, aren't we? We're happier. Can you imagine, church family, the feelings of the followers of Jesus? They had seen the enemies of the Lord take him and crucify him. They were devastated by this defeat. They were disillusioned by the apparently failed leadership of Jesus. They had pinned all their hopes on his messiahship, only to see him overwhelmed by his opposition and killed. But then elation came into their hearts. He broke free from death and the grave. In a startling act of God, Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen. Amen. The disciples were terrified. They were terrified, but yet they were overjoyed. For 40 days, the risen Christ strengthened their faith, restored their hope, and taught them his truth. Can you imagine? Put yourself there in their shoes. Can you imagine anything more thrilling, more inspiring? Those followers who had fled from the cross were ready to charge into the world with their risen Lord. They had regained their courage and momentum for ministry. Jesus just had to point and they were ready to go. They were ready to go. These disciples were straining at the reins. They were filled with urgency. You can hear it in the question they asked Jesus. Lord, is now the time when you will bring the kingdom of God? Will you bring in the kingdom of God and restore Israel to a glory not known before? Lord, is it time? We're ready. We're ready, Lord. But Jesus answered very calmly to them, that's God's business. That's my Father's reply. That's for him to decide. You just need to find a nice room in Jerusalem. Calm down. You just need to find a nice room in Jerusalem where you can wait. Wait, they said. Surely, Lord, you don't want us to lose our momentum. You heard me, said Jesus. You go and you wait. Wait, we're supposed to go and wait for nothing? Why? Not for nothing, that's for sure, Jesus said. You go and wait because in Acts 1:8, so you can receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Was that good enough for them to hear? Was that what they wanted to hear? The Savior knew at that moment that no argument, however logical, would melt hard hearts or break through the crust of worldliness and selfishness. He knew, just like he knows we know, that his disciples must receive the heavenly endowment. You must receive it. I must receive it before we can reach out to others and even into our own church and be on our knees. We need the heavenly endowment. That the gospel would be effective only as it was proclaimed by hearts, by your hearts and my hearts, to be made warm and lips made eloquent. When the Holy Spirit fills you, you can reach people by the words and the warmth in your heart. And he knew that this was needed. They needed a living knowledge of him. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. They needed to be waiting for power, unseen, intangible divine power. Did they really need to do that? Did they really need to do that? They had spent 3.5 years with the Messiah. Did they really need to do that? Do we need to have that in our lives? Couldn't they carry on with native strength? And can't we carry on with what strength we have? Why did they have to wait for the Pentecostal power of God? Isn't a good plan, and sometimes we make plans, we get things in our heads to set up a plan and get ready to do it. Do we need, or isn't a good plan and a little determination enough? Isn't it? Evidently, Jesus didn't think so, because he said, what did he say to them? Go and wait. Have you ever felt, when you're wanting the Lord's help, bringing prayers to him on something that you need an answer on, or something you would like to have, and nothing happens? You pray in and out through the day. Nothing. And the Lord tells us sometimes we have to go and wait, to wait upon him. And that's what Christ said to the disciples, go and wait. Christ told his disciples that they were to begin their work where? Where did they have to begin their work? Where was the upper room? Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem? What happened in Jerusalem that they were now going to the upper room and having to wait for the promised gift? Right, Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. That's where he told them to go and wait, in the very city at Passover time that they killed him. They were to go and wait. They had been scared. They'd been running. They didn't know what to think. But the Lord told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wow. That they were to wait on the promised gift that he had asked the Father to send them. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty scared to go into this city that had just killed my Messiah. But the grave couldn't hold him. He is now their risen Savior. And he told him to go to Jerusalem. Amazing. That scene and that city had been the scene of his amazing sacrifice for the human race. The victory has been won. Death has been defeated. And he told them to go there and wait. And so prior to Christ's fulfillment of his promise to send them the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were not fully capable of proclaiming the good news yet. They weren't really eager to go and do as he asked them to do, to go and wait, because they did not understand. They did not understand the nature of the kingdom of God. Can we honestly say at times we may not understand the kingdom of God? Do we not need to be praying and reading the word and spending time with Jesus and building a relationship? The problem was, as it is with us, even though they heard Jesus' words, they still didn't know what to expect. Can we honestly say that as well? It was not as though they were waiting for a date on a calendar or the arrival of a package of a certain description. They were waiting for the power. They were waiting for power when the Holy Spirit would come. That wasn't something they could look out the window and see. We talked about this Thursday night. You cannot see the Holy Spirit. You can't look out the window and see him. You can't look down the road and see him. It's an unknown mystery. So they obediently, prayerfully, trustingly, I don't know how patiently, but they waited for the promised Holy Spirit, as each one of us must do. Finally, something happened in that room. It was like a wind blowing through the room. Then something like flickering tongues of fire appeared and alighted on each of the disciples. They opened their mouths and began to speak, not as they normally did. When the Spirit comes in, you take on a different tone. You take on a different posture. And so they began to speak, not as normally that they did, but as God enabled them to speak, in a language people of all nations could hear. There were people there from everywhere. And all of a sudden, they begin hearing the word of God in their own language as the Holy Spirit spoke through these men. And they understood what these men were saying. And after they finished, how many people were baptized? Do you know? How many were baptized that day, Laura? 3,000. But this was the beginning of the early church. And that Holy Spirit lit those disciples and those people up, and that fire raged and that wind and the rain poured out. And from there they went from 3,000 to 5,000. And the church grew by leaps and bounds. And 3,000 that day were baptized, and the church was born. As those disciples had to go wait in that upper room. And they waited. And they waited for the Holy Spirit, the heavenly endowment with what we need here in our church today, that the gospel would be effective only as it was proclaimed by hearts. The Holy Spirit warms your heart, and lips made eloquent by the living knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. During the time of waiting, the disciples prayed. Don't forget, they were praying. We are called to pray. We've been being called to pray. They prayed with intense earnestness, as we need to do, for a fitness to meet men and in their daily intercourse speak words that would lead sinners to Christ. The Lord has called us to go out and teach others about him. And through this, they could come closer together in Christian fellowship. Holy Spirit, praying, spending time together, draws us closer and closer. Could it be that we would be better off if we waited and didn't just dive into the work? Is it possible that we need to faithfully and fervently pray, even more than we need to plan. We have no shortages of intelligence. We have no shortage of intelligence out there, no talent or goodwill. We have no shortage of that. But what about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to be Christ's witnesses? Pentecost is about evangelism, revival, and reformation. When all is said and done, the saying and doing of the church is intended to spread the good news, isn't it? Isn't that what we are to be doing? The good news that the Lord told us to do? And bring people to faith in Jesus Christ? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that job for several reasons. Let me tell you about them. First, only the Holy Spirit can enable you and me to overcome what's called a sense of self-disqualification. What does that mean? Self-disqualification. Our awareness of moral flaws and spiritual shortcomings that can lead us to bow out when it comes to witnessing for the good news of Jesus. How can you encourage other people to become Christians when I'm such a shabby specimen myself? How can I do that? How can I talk to people about faith in Christ when I have so many problems of my own? How can I do that? And so, with comments like this, as we tell ourselves, we decline to be witnesses, don't we? Don't we? I got too many problems. I can't do this. And then we feel that we're just not worthy. Maybe someday when we finally get our act together, and I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about all of us out there, we will share that good news. But for the time being, our Bible worker is sharing the good news out there. She works very hard. She never stops. She will not be satisfied until the last Bible study is being done as she is being raptured up to heaven. Thank you, Frida. Thank you for your tireless, tireless work. And we need to follow her example of sharing Jesus with others and not think we're not good enough to do it. Just imagine what would happen if the earliest followers of Jesus thought that way. Just imagine. Peter could have said, "How can I urge people to give their lives to Christ? How can I?" Because what did Peter do? What did Peter do as Christ was in the courtyard? What did he do? He denied Christ how many times? 3 times. "I've denied him," he said. "How can I urge people to give their lives to Christ? I denied him and claimed I never knew him." Think of Paul, the Apostle Paul. "How can I tell the good news of Christ when they all know I helped to kill Christians? How can I do that?" We could go down the list, each one of us, and find serious imperfections in every apostle. In every apostle. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. The same can be said of the churches in that time, and even in our time. They were tainted by racism, selfishness, heresy, pride, half-heartedness, and yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they overcame this sense of self-disqualification, and you can too, through the work of the Holy Spirit. In order to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, as each one of us has been called to do, we need the Holy Spirit for the same reason. And you say amen. Second, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to get past our differences right here in the church in order to make vital contact with others. The gospel is for who? All people of every race, nation, gender, and class. Did you get that? Every race, gender, and class. Jesus sees them as someone that needs him. They need to know they need a Savior, no matter where they're at in their life. But we tend to live by the birds of a feather principle. When we have our rathers, we'd rather stay around people who are largely like us, don't we? Only the Holy Spirit can empower us to get beyond our group with the gospel. Don't get me wrong, church family. Don't get me wrong here. It makes sense. It makes sense to begin by being witnesses to people who are like us in the workplace, in the neighborhood. It makes sense, doesn't it? By being witness to people who are like us. Apostle Paul said this very same thing. He said first to the Jews. Wasn't he a Jew? Wasn't his heritage Jewish? But he didn't leave it there. The second part of his slogan was, first to the Jews, but also to the Greeks. On the day of Pentecost, that great day of Pentecost, standing out in that courtyard as they were socializing with each other, people from many nations heard the message of the crucified and risen Christ. From a diverse collection of people, God forged a church. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us and have that happen. Wouldn't you like to see every pew in this church filled to the brim? Wouldn't that be like fire coming into this sanctuary, being touched through the Holy Spirit and through your work and fellowshipping with Jesus? Definitely. And only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can enable that to happen. And again, in this congregation, it can happen. People don't have to be from different nations and cultures to need the Spirit to bring them together. There are times we feel separation right here, don't we? Isn't there sometimes we feel separation right here? And we are far more alike one another than we are different from each other. Yet differences in viewpoints and temperaments and tastes and habit times led to breaches in relationships right here in our own church. We can have that. By the power of the Spirit, these can be overcome. And together, as we pray together, spend time in the Word, the Holy Spirit will be poured out and we can become witnesses to this neighborhood out there. We can be the light on the hill. Third, only the Holy Spirit can empower us. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. He can empower us to speak with others. He can empower you to start speaking to others and you have no idea where that came from. He can empower you to speak to others. So immensely important, the gospel of good news. Yeah, we're comfortable talking to each other, aren't we? We can talk to each other about all kinds of things, can't we? All sorts of things. The price of lettuce, the level of taxes, the antics of our children, the weather, been the topic of conversation lately. The struggles of our workplace and our retirement plans, our student loans, our insurance, our cars. We can talk about a lot of things. How do we move from the transitory issues to speak of eternity with God? How do we do that? How do we get into a conversation with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker and bring up eternity with that person? How do we do that? It's not easy, is it? It's not easy for most of us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? I didn't hear you. Amen. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a story a few years ago that I read about that the dean of a Phillips graduate seminary, he had been serving a church that added another worship service in order to reach more people. Some of the larger churches do have a second service because there's so many people out there and it fits within their schedule. And so he had heard of this church and he had also served in this church in order to reach more people. Not everyone favored the change. A man came to him one day with a complaint. A man that was in the church came to him with a complaint. He said, "I just found out that the man I've been working beside for 3 years is a member of our church. I'd never seen him in worship because he goes to that new service. That just goes to show that we shouldn't have two services." Wouldn't it be something to have two services here? Wouldn't it be fantastic through the work of the Holy Spirit? So he said, not being particularly interested or hesitant to speak his mind, the man said, "The reason that for 3 years you didn't know he was a member of our church is because you made no effort. You made no effort to speak to your coworkers about your faith." We are to talk about Jesus at work. We're to share Jesus with those at work. They need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus in a lost and dying world. We need to be in prayer, waiting before God so he can give us courage and can open up our eyes to the opportunities to speak to people wherever they may be the message of Jesus. And so often we miss that opportunity and allow timidity to take over. That is why it is crucial that we look to the power of God. Look to the power of God and pray before you leave the house in the morning for guidance, for an opportunity to share Jesus with someone along the way. I know it can be difficult to talk about important things. I know it can be difficult to talk about important things, intimate things, but such talk in today's world is indispensable. Only the Holy Spirit can equip us for this. The Spirit is not likely to arrive for us. The Spirit's not going to arrive for us like a mighty wind, like he did on those disciples. It is probably a waste of time looking for the Spirit's arrival with flickering tongues on your heads. And when we open our mouths, people of every nation are unlikely to understand us without a translator. And we live in a world that there are many languages spoke in this country. The American language is not first. Spanish is in that. American. Somalian, Chinese. We are a nation of mixed roots. And when we open our mouths, people of every nation are unlikely to understand us without a translator. But the promise of the Holy Spirit is ours. It's yours. You can have it. It's a gift that the Lord promised that his Father would send to his disciples. Are you not a disciple? Are you not a disciple? Yes, I'm a disciple, Lord. I want the gift. God can and will continue to pour out the Spirit upon us to empower us to be Christ's witnesses in our time. If we will open our hearts to God, we won't have to wait long. He will speak through you. to win souls to the kingdom. And what was the result, again, of the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? What was the results? The glad tidings of a risen Savior were carried to the uppermost parts of the inhabited world. As the disciples proclaimed the message of redeeming grace, God's grace, redeeming grace, hearts yielded to the power of this message. The church beheld converts. Just imagine those doors opening up out there and people racing in here, filling up these pews. The church beheld converts flocking to her from all directions. Backsliders were reconverted. Sinners united with believers in seeking the pearl of great price. Some who had been the bitterest opponents of the gospel became its champions. Ellen White, Acts of the Apostles, page 48. The promise of the Holy Spirit is not limited to any age. It's not limited to any race. It's available to all of us. Christ declared the divine influence of his Spirit was to be with his followers until when? How long will we have the Holy Spirit? Today and not tomorrow? Next week or next month? To what? To the end of the age, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. The lapse of time has wrought no change in this promise. Time is not in the Lord's thinking. We can have it until the end of the age. The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as his representative. Okay, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, then I ask you, why do we hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why are we hungering and wanting the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? Do you know anything about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead? Would you like to know more about him? He is available to us to know. We may not see him, we may not touch him, but he is here. He is Jesus. The promised gift, the Holy Spirit, is Jesus here on earth. It is true that in the end of time, when God's work in the earth is closing, the earnest efforts put forth by you and me, consecrated believers, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, are to be accompanied by special tokens of divine favor. Under the figure of the early and the latter rain that falls in eastern lands at seed time and harvest, when the seeds are put into the ground, what do they need to start them to grow? The early rain. They need the early rain. Under the figure of the early and the latter rain that falls in eastern lands at seed time and harvest, the Hebrew prophets foretold the bestowal of the spiritual grace of the Holy Spirit in extraordinary measure upon God's church. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the beginning of the early or former rain, and glorious was the results. That was when the early rain fell. In the time when those disciples were in that upper room and praying and asking to come together in one accord, working out their differences, encouraging one another, the Lord told him that he could have the Holy Spirit. That was the former rain that was pouring out. And glorious was the result. And to the end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide within the true church. But near the close of Earth's harvest, are we not near to the close of Earth's harvest? A special bestowal of spiritual grace, a bestowal of spiritual grace is promised. We are promised in today's church to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the following of the latter rain. Why did the plants need the latter rain? What was that? To ripen and bring the harvest in. We need the latter rain. The outpouring of the Spirit is likening to the falling of the latter rain, and it is for the added power that Christians are to send their petitions to the Lord of the harvest in the time of the latter rain. We need to be praying. We need to be praying to share Jesus. We need to be praying for the rain, for the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. We are the laborers. We need to get out into the field. The harvest is ripe. We need the latter rain to pour. In times of the latter rain, the Lord shall make bright clouds and give us showers of rain. He will cause that to come down. He will cause the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. Zechariah 10:1, Joel 2:23. But unless the members of God's church today have a living connection, you need a living connection. You need a living faith. You need the living connection with the source of all spiritual growth. They will not be ready for the time of reaping. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the reaping. You need to wake up. You need to be praying. Praying. Come together and pray for the rain, or we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the reaping. Unless we keep our lamps trimmed and burning, we will fail of receiving. We will fail of receiving the added grace in the times of special need. Those only who are constantly receiving fresh supplies of grace will have power proportionate to their daily needs and their ability to use that power. Instead of looking forward to some future time when through a special endowment of spiritual power, they will receive a miraculous fitting up for soul winning now. They are yielding, and we need to be yielding ourselves daily to our Lord and Savior, that he can make us vessels. He can make us vessels to meet for his use. Amen? We need to be filled with the Spirit, to be fitted up to meet for what the Lord has for us so he can use us. Daily, we need to be improving the opportunities for service that lie within our reach. Daily, we need to be witnessing for the Master, wherever they may be, whether in some humble sphere of labor, at work, or in the home, or in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. This morning, I want to ask you something. I want you, if you will, with me, join me in making a commitment to the Lord, in asking for a fresh supply of grace every day, because he tells us his grace is sufficient for us. Will you join me in making that commitment, for asking for a fresh supply of grace every day, so that we will have power apportionate to our daily need and ability to use that power? We need to be asking for that, praying for that. The Lord of the harvest declares The fields are white and ready for the harvest, but there are few laborers. Please, church family, let us continue to stay connected to Jesus. Let's keep our lamps trimmed and burning so that we can witness for the Master wherever we go. Will you join with me now by standing right where you're at? Let's stand before the Lord. Let's stand right now to be used by the Lord for the building of the Lord's kingdom to get ready to go home. Amen? Are you ready to go home?
Absolutely.
We need to get the work done. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us every day to share Jesus with everyone we love, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our spouses. Lord, if you bow your heads, Lord, you see us. You see, we have made a commitment, Lord. We've made a commitment to you to allow you to fill us through our prayers, through our asking, to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, to use us, Lord. We're your hands, we're your feet, we're your voices, to share Jesus with everyone along the way and even to each other, Lord. We ask this in the precious and beautiful, glorious name of our Lord and Savior, our risen Savior. We're ready to go, Lord. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your commitment. Now we're going to sing our last song, The Mighty Power. Number 88, I sing the mighty power of God. Let us sing to him. Number 88.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to raise the day. The moon shines forth his command, and all the stars obey.
I sing the goodness
of the Lord that filled the earth with rain. He formed the creatures with his word.
Now may the Lord watch between you and me while we are absent one from another. I pray, Lord, that you bless each one today as they leave here and bless them throughout the rest of the week, Lord, until we can come together again next Sabbath. In Jesus' beautiful name we ask. Amen.